today really quick. I think I'm going to start on some Christmas. I think I've got four I can do. Christmas messages up until Christmas. Anyway, I put on the first seasonal tie today. He's got one on, so I'm not by myself. So anyway, welcome to Sunday school. Good to see you guys, the few and the faithful. So here we go. Danny, get us started, and then we'll start on the next judgment.
Good morning, everyone. I guess everyone had a happy Thanksgiving holiday. It's good to see you back here, and if you're like me, I didn't get to have my turkey till yesterday, when I'm kind of dragging today. I got a little bit too much, I think. But anyway, it's good to see you here, and like Steve said, we're on the road down toward Christmas now. So these last couple of months of the year are really busy, busy, busy time. So I hope everything's well at your house. I'm going to go ahead and say a few things about the bulletin. Most of you can read in the center section there of the upcoming events for December, and we do have a lot of them that will be going on, so if you'll just take notice to that. In the short term, we're talking today, and what will be going on, we'll have our normal church services today, and then for Monday, November the 27th, there will be basketball in the Family Life Center. For Monday and Tuesday, they'll be working on the Christmas float. So if any of y'all have any part of the Christmas parade or anything with the float, why, remember that. Wednesday, November the 29th, our family fellowship, and Shirley and I really like that service. It's always very, very educational for us. There's so many things that our pastor brings out, and as we study the Word of God, it's just wonderful. So a little bit further on down, on Tuesday, December the 5th, the Oasis Christmas dinner will be in the Family Life Center. And before that, we've got December the 2nd, that we'll have our outreach breakfast and visitation at 9:30 a.m. So y'all remember these things that are coming up close, and if you take part in that, look at the bulletin and keep those in front of you. On prayer requests this morning, I was talking with Miss Judy Martin back here, and Iva May, her sister, is not expected to live through the day today. She went into a coma yesterday, so she would appreciate all the prayers and those things that you would have for her and her family. And also her other sister is sick, very sick also. So remember this family. And then we want to remember Brother Bob Bryant. I talked with him on the phone. Says he's doing well, that he's not having pain or anything like that, but just pray for him. Miss Sharon Harmon, pray for her. She's been having a difficult time. Ron and Wanda Huskins are sick. We pray for them. Pray that the Lord will be with them, and she's due some surgery, I think, here in the 1st of January on her leg, so I don't know if it's her hip or her knee, but she's due a replacement there, I believe. And then Miss Kim Brummett, Bobby was telling me that she's going to get her biopsy this coming week. Yes, on Tuesday. And so y'all remember her. Kim's having a a really rough go of this. So Frances Lawson also, we need to remember her in prayer. She's taken rehab, and she's really trying hard, but she has hurt her wrist where she's pulling herself in and out of the bed. So y'all pray for Frances. And of course, we're remembering Judy Whitson. I'm sure that there's a lot of folks that I've missed that I don't know about, but let's remember these. Okay. Do you have a prayer request, son? Y'all have a prayer request? Does anyone have a prayer request this morning by an uplifted hand? Okay. All right. Well, I tell you, we'll give Steve all the time we can, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll pray for these, and we'll ask the Lord to bless our services today. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us. And God, pray that you would give strength, Lord, to Miss Judy Martin's family, Lord, as they deal with the situation that they have. And Iva May, Lord, in this coma, we pray, Lord, that you'll bless all of that family. Lord, you'll take care of them. God, we pray for these others that are on the sick list, dear Lord. They're having surgeries. They're having things that are causing them serious issues, Lord. They need your hand. They need your touch. God, I pray that you'll be with them. Lord, we also pray for Bill Magnus this morning, Lord. We found out that he's still having some issues, and he'll see the doctor again on January the 9th, Lord. Just pray for him. And God, all of these that we've talked about, Lord, folks that are having issues. And Lord, this time of year, we get so busy sometimes, Lord, we forget to do what we need to do. And Lord, that's to pray, and that's that we should never forget to lift them up in prayer. And Lord, we would ask you this morning that if it's your will, you'll touch them. And Lord, also for our Sunday school hour this morning, we pray you'll touch Brother Steve. Lord, you'll help him finish these judgments up, Lord, and God, that you'll just give him strength and unction from you as he does this teaching to us. Lord, bless our pastor. Lord, bless his family. We pray that you'll give him that heavenly unction this morning, that he would bring us what we need to hear. And God, if there's somebody here that don't know you today, we'd ask, Lord, that you touch their heart, dear God, that they may receive salvation. Thank you for loving us, and we give you, Lord, thanks for all of this season now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brother. Judy, I will pray for you today and your sister and your family. It's difficult times for a lot of folks right now, especially during this holiday season, to have loved ones sick. And God doesn't promise us a rose garden, does he? And because of the sin of mankind, we've inherited that. But because of what God has done for us, because of what Christ did on the cross, we know that our loved ones that are saved, and we are all going to see each other in heaven again. But it still doesn't make it that easy parting here on earth. We all have to deal with that one way or the other sometime. And we need God's strength. Judy needs God's strength today. Pray for her that God will give his peace in those situations. And others that are going through this, it's hard any way you want to go at it. But we lean on God. As I went through those things a year or so ago, more than a year now. If I don't know how people do it without having God in their heart and on their side. A lot of us here have loved ones that's already went on. People that were here, lovely people. People that we loved. People that were in my Sunday school class early on. God's been faithful in holding people up, helping people be faithful to church. Don't give up. Keep coming. Keep trying to serve. We're going to talk about the second judgment. The first judgment of God last week was on God's own Son and the judgment for our sin. Today we're going to talk about the second judgment, and that's for the believers and your work as a believer. The time that this will happen is in the future. We don't know when. It could happen today, tomorrow. We know that time is running out. We're closer today than we've ever been. That's an easy statement to say, to being called out, because you are part of the church. Not necessarily this church building, but the church family, the church that has trusted Christ as the bride of Christ. And the next time that when we are called out, we're going to be standing in front of Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, let's set that in the time period, the dispensation period of time that we've been talking about over the last few weeks. We are now in the dispensation. That's a particular word, means it can mean different things, but it means how God deals with mankind. We're in the age of grace, the church age, the time of the Gentiles, many other names it's been called. And we're coming up on the end of that. And the next thing to happen is the rapture. The church will be raptured out. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then us who remain will go. We'll all meet Christ in the air. He doesn't come back to earth. We meet him in the air, in the atmosphere, and then go to heaven to the judgment seat of Christ. That starts the 7-year tribulation period here on earth. While we're in heaven, we're going to do the judgment seat of Christ, and then we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, Christ steps out of heaven and actually comes back to earth and sets up the kingdom there in Jerusalem and sets things up for the 1,000-year reign. So where we're at right now, we're just at the edge. As all of these things come together as we see them in the world today, and all the things that have come together with the nation of Israel is happening before our eyes. So the basis of this judgment is our works. Their works, it says. Their being the saved Christians, me, you, that have trusted Christ as our Savior, will be called out. And we may be that generation. I always thought we may be. But seeing how the conditions of the world are today, there's a few more things that's got to happen in that part of the world. And we're going to be judged on reward or loss. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now we can look over that bad thing, because we know that our sins are forgiven and cast into the sea of forgiveness and never brought back up. God has chose, he has made it that way. He is God, he can do anything. He can forget our sins. Some people can't get a grip on that, and they can't forgive themselves for sin, and they can't get saved because of that. Sometimes we have to really get people to understand that God forgives their sins because He is God. He can do that. He can choose to put them sins behind Him and never pick them up again. So this judgment has nothing to do with us being judged for our sin. It has to do with us serving as saved ones, serving as the bride of Christ. Because that's who we're going to be. We're going to be standing there in heaven, and we're the bride that God gave Christ for what He did on the cross. We're part of the church, the saved church. One of the saddest things I think is we have a lot of good people that think their good is going to get them there. I know people today that are good folks that do anything for you and say they're saved, but they're basing their salvation on works. It has nothing to do with how much money you give or what church you go to. There's Satan, it's one of his tools, has fooled good people into believing that what they're doing is good enough to get them to heaven. Some church and some activity or some ceremony or whatever it may be, or they were sprinkled and they think that saves them, or they got baptized and they think that saves them. Whatever it may be, Satan's got them fooled into believing that. And why is that? Because they don't pick up this word of God and read and get the truth for it. So we're going to see when the rapture happens and those that are left behind, I'd hate to be one of them, because they're going to go through that 7-year tribulation period. And they've had their chance to get saved. If they've heard the gospel, they'll either not make it through it, or they'll get out the other end and there's going to be another judgment at the end of the 7-year tribulation, the third judgment. So here we have some verses in the Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'll read some of these things. Let me get to it real quick. I should have marked them. That's not the one I want. 1 Thessalonians. Excuse me just a minute. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord in the air," okay? It's not in heaven. Okay, we're going to be judged at that point. We're going to be judged, it says, not judgment for our sin, but judgment for our works. Let me look at another verse here. I'm trying to get the one I want. 1 Corinthians 3:11. So it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, "For other foundations can no man lay that which he has laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now we're talking about foundations for the service and the ministry of Christ. "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. The question that I've always had, we're all going to be there, and we're all probably going to see this judgment seat of Christ. Am I going to be able to stand there and hear what Christ says to Brother Harry Vickers? Of course, I know that man's going to get crowns beyond crowns because I know him. I've traveled with him all around the world three or four times, more, five times, six times. But are we going to be able to see every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, that's Christ looking on it. Lost my place. Revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. So what sort of work are we talking about? What last? What are you going to go to heaven with? Have you ever thought about that? You know, you always heard there's no trailer behind a hearse taking stuff. We know that. But what does get to heaven? What sort of stuff is it? If any man's work abide which he hath built there upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So are we going to get... Sometimes I've looked and I can't find an answer, and I've talked to the pastor and he doesn't know either. Are we going to see what's going on with each individual? Now, you know, when you're there, there's no time. Time is for here on earth. It's only 7.5 year period going on. But in heaven, there is no time. Time was created for this earth. So Christ is going to take all the time he needs to talk to us about what we've did as a Christian. What are you going to take to heaven with you? Love for others? I honestly believe that love in our hearts for our families, because we know the Bible tells us we're going to see our families, our loved ones, and get to fellowship with them again. So this love that we have, this special love, God categorizes love. His love is agape love. It's going to transition to heaven, that love is. So your loved ones will be there. Those that have went before us, dead in Christ, they'll be there because they get to go first, then we follow them up. We meet in the air. So we're going to see our loved ones. How can we love them if we don't have love that we take with us, that God allows us to have? Now, what other kind of love will we be there? Do we have a love for mankind? Do we have a love for that attendant at the gas station or the person at the grocery store enough to hand them a tract? Does that get to go? Does that get looked at by Christ? Well, of course it will be. Will that kind of love get burned up? No, I don't think it will be, because you was working to give somebody the word. You handed them the tract, you made a witness to them. It's hard for me to fathom. Every person that I've ever spoke to, witnessed to, try to lead to Christ, have led to Christ, all that's going to be talked about at this judgment seat. But then it says bad. Is there a day that somebody walked by you in a store and God gave you an unction to give them something or say something to them and you didn't? Is that good or bad in Christ's eyes? Then at the final judgment, the judgment seat at the great white throne, Are you going to be standing in that crowd, that cloud of people that are saved, and you're going to see that person walk in front of God and he cast them into the lake of fire? Is that what we're going to be judged for? Is that a bad thing? That's a bad thing. We didn't witness to that person, and God give us the unction through the Holy Spirit to say something to that person. So how many bad things do we have like that? Have you treated someone poorly in your own family? Families can be a mess. I have purposed in my life with my children and my grandchildren and all those family issues that there will never be anything that you go to bed on that's everybody's mad. You just make it purpose in your life that you're not going to have that kind of animosity in your family. And praise the Lord because of Him and His Word and reading to my children and taking them to church and seeing them get saved. I've never had an issue with any of my young'uns. And they not with their family and not with their children and my children and my grandchildren. All that. God has blessed all that. Will that go be looked at? Of course, God will look at you and say, well done. You got your family. You done them right. Took them to church. You seen your children saved. How many of us have been bit with the mission work and you didn't either give or you didn't even go? Brother Harry was working at Eastman. And God said, you need to be a missionary. He didn't even hesitate, he and Brenda. They took off. Went to one of the coldest places in the world, in Alaska or in Canada. Whitehorse, I think it was. He was telling me how they'd go dock on doors and have these big hoods on and frost and freezing and 40 below zero and asking people to come to church in that kind of weather. It gets below freezing. We just think, well, I'm not even going to get out today and go to church. What's God going to look at in our lives, guys? We all come to church and act, we can sit back in these seats and act so sanctified and so I go to church and I'm good and I'm here all the time. But how's God going to look at all that? I mean, he likes you to go to church. Yeah, he'll probably mention that. But where's all those other things? The bad part. I tell you, I want to go there, but I'm not really looking forward to him pointing his fiery eyes on my work. And saying, you shouldn't have done that. Now that's covered by the blood, but you're not getting no reward for that. Matter of fact, you may lose one. And it says that in the Word too. We need to think about this second judgment. It's in the future, but it involves me and you. I don't know, this is one of the most important judgments to me because I've always strived to do right and be right, but I'm just a sinner saved by grace, have messed up so many times, but that's why Christ died for me that day on the cross. He said, I'm hanging here for Steve Mullins because he's all the sins that he's going to do in the future. The judgment seat of Christ may not be the best thing, but we're all going to face it. And you're going to get crowns if you've done the right thing. It's a crowning day for victories, for Christians that have victories in their life. And then there's five crowns mentioned. that we can get that day. And we could do a study on each one of them. The crown of life is for martyrs that died for the cause of Christ. I don't know. I remember seeing a missionary film one time, long time ago, back when they played on reels, reel to reel. And it was about these missionaries that went, I think it was in South America somewhere in the jungle. And these guys went upstream, got off the boat, and they were all killed, martyred right there. I don't remember the story or anything like that. Later on, other missionaries went to this tribe and they got saved. And they were worried about killing those missionaries that they'd killed some years before. And the wives went and met these people and forgave them. What a story it was. The forgiveness and these people being sorry for what they did. I understood that they needed to be saved and understood that they needed to trust Christ. And when they did, they started talking about what they had done. That these young missionaries were martyred. They're going to get this crown. And then a lot of that's going to go on during the tribulation period. We know that there's going to be 144,000 Jewish people preaching. Of course, this seven-year tribulation is the nation of Israel. It's bringing them to the point of where they know that Christ did die for their sins. And they're going to start preaching it. And the Antichrist and his crowd is going to punish those people. And they are going to die for the cause of Christ. There's martyrs. And there's other missionaries that's been martyrs. Other stories that we can think about that we've heard, this missionary and that missionary, they were captured. They on and on and on, the martyr's crown. And then there's a part of James chapter 1 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, testing. For when he is tried, and that tried means at the judgment seat of Christ, looked it up, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them who love him. So there's a point of this trying of our faith. Have we ever been tried? I was in the Ukraine with Brother Harry some years ago, and the Iron Curtain had failed. And some of those people that were in prison by the Communist Party for having a Bible, for preaching a Bible. The Bible was so valuable to these people, they would take one page out and secretly pass it around. Think about that. One page was so valued. We don't have an inkling of what people go through when they're tested for the cause of Christ. And not necessarily martyred, but tested, it says. God's going to look at that. Christ is going to look at that. Have we ever been tested? Have we been made fun of and called a Bible thumper? Preacher? At work? I have. I was always working in the bottom layers of the executives, invited to all the parties, invited to all the dinners, and did not drink. And made fun of. I said, guys, it's just, I can't do that. That's not part of my life. And it went on and on and on. And before you know it, you're sitting in your office. Somebody knocks on the door and says, can I talk to you? I said, sure, come on in. I've got this problem. I need somebody to pray for me. I didn't know who else to go to. How valuable is that? We need to go on for the cause of Christ. Go on. Go on. The martyr's crown. Martyrs, And those who just didn't give up, didn't endured all the hackling and endured all the fun making and all that went on. And now we're going to look at judgment number three real quick. Let's talk about the Jews, which is going on today. We see what's going on there. This is the time that this is going to happen. This is the third judgment in the Bible. Of course, we've got other crowns to talk about. We got the martyr's crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness, the incorruptible crown. All those could be talked about. These crowns that are going to be handed out that day by Christ. But now we're going to go to number three, looking back at the dispensations of time. We're coming through the church age. We're in heaven, raptured out. We're there at the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Why this seven-year period? That's number three. So number two and number three is really going on at the same time. It's during the Great Tribulation. The place it's going to happen is in Jerusalem and in the vicinity, just like we see today. If you turn on Fox News and look at the vicinity and see spots and battles all over the map there in that part of the world, against us, against them, on and on and on. The basis of this judgment is the rejection of the Godhead. You understand that the Jews, the ones that are really practice what they believe, how they eat and what they do, and they have to wear the little hats and light the candles and all those things that they do from the Old Testament. They're working for their salvation. They have not yet really accepted what Christ did on the cross. And they're going to wake up during this time, some of them are, and understand that they needed to trust Christ as their Savior. So this judgment's going to be going on earth during the seven-year tribulation period. Then at the end, I'm going to have to end this thing. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, now we're back in time again, back church age, we're in heaven, seven-year tribulation going on earth. Here at the end of heaven, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, we get to come back to earth. So this subject of the judgment at this time is the Gentile nations. The time is the revelation of Christ, it's called. The throne of His glory on earth. And the valley of Jehoshaphat, all this is going to take place in that part of the world. And the basis of the judgment is the treatment of Christ by the brethren, the Jews. How they treated Christ and put Him on the cross because of those leadership of the Jewish nation at that time. And all the people standing around saying, "Crucify Him." God set all that in motion for you and I. That He used His beloved people to do it. God's chosen people crucifies God's Son. I mean, put that together. How much does God love you and me? He used His chosen people to crucify His Son. But here we are at the time, this fourth judgment. Christ sets His feet down back on the Mount of Olives, physically comes down. Now, we don't want to get confused here. These are the living nations that are going to get judged. The dead that have not accepted Christ will go to the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment seat. That's 1,000 years ahead of this. So at this point, the living nations on earth. There's three types of people named: sheep, goats, and brethren. So we look at this as before the millennium now, before the 1,000-year reigns. The sheep are the saved ones that come through the tribulation that get saved. The goats are the people that come through the tribulation that didn't get saved. The brethren is the Jews. So we have this judgment, Christ there on the throne in Jerusalem, judging these people, and these goats immediately are cast into the lake of fire. The saved ones come through into the millennial reign, and the brethren that's saved, the Jews, that understands the big picture at this point, they figured out, they come through into the 1,000-year reign. So we see those groups, the goats, the unbelievers, are cast into hell at that point. For 1,000 years, they're going to be there, because the next thing to happen is the 1,000-year reign here on earth. And we could go into the details about that, but we're talking about judgments here. I need to hurry up. So the fifth judgment. So if anybody ever asks you, there's five judgments. We just talked about those. First one last week, and then up four of them today. The subject of this judgment is the wicked dead. And it's during the time that the earth has been destroyed by fire. And God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And the judgment, the place it's going to be, is at the great white throne judgment. And it's God himself judging the works of these sinners. There's verses that support that. One of the first things that will happen, the Antichrist and the devil himself will be thrown into the lake of fire, and hell itself will be put into the lake of fire. Now think about that. How hotter is hotter? Hot's hot. Forever. The end. They can't get out forever. And that's the time, I'm afraid, and I don't know this. There's no indication of it, but there's no indication it won't happen. That you and I will be standing in the background watching these people walk before God, and he cast them into the lake of fire. And I hope there's not anybody there that I know. I pray there's not anybody there that I know. Because that's going to be a horrible thing to see. The Bible says he wipes our tears away. But how could you not stand there and see that happening without crying? A soul burning forever for eternity and can't never stop. That's the fifth judgment. The judgment of sinners. Not only did they get judged, but they got judged for what they did. Degrees of judgment. And think about that. Think about some of the wicked people that we know in this world. I'm going to have to quit. Bottom line here, folks, is we need to witness, witness, witness. We need to come to church. If we know somebody and they ain't saved and we've tried, we need to try again. Because this is coming at us like a freight train. You're going to get out of the way or you're going to get run over and left. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for Christ and what he did on that cross some 2,000 years ago. Lord, we love you and thank you. Lord, help us to understand what all these judgments are about and what they mean to us today. Help us to point people toward Christ. God, we love you and we thank you. We pray for today's service. Pray for our pastor that he preached the word and somebody unsaved would get saved. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. Thank you all.